Welcome back, cinephiles and pop culture enthusiasts, to a new electrifying episode of The Syndicate. I'm your host, Armand, and today we've got a real treat for you. Joining us once again is the ever-charming and insightful Allie, as we dive into the creature feature with a heart that beats with nostalgia and a touch of the macabre. Yes, we're resurrecting the dead with the cult phenomenon, Lisa Frankenstein. We'll dissect the vibrant universe of the film, reflecting on its homage to the 1980s horror scene and how it connects to the beloved Jennifer's body. Allie and I will get deep into the film's clever nods, the humor that left us in stitches, and the absurd moments that somehow made perfect sense. But it's not all about the undead today. Like every Syndicate episode, the conversation takes a turn as we touch on the challenges the film industry faces today. From streaming wars to the future of the movie-going experience, can communal viewing survive in bars and cozy home theaters? Well, Allie and I will break it all down for you. Lastly, we've got musings on a sequel that'll get your inner film buffs singing, or should I say, howling. A Lisa Frankenstein musical, folks. An idea so outrageous, it might just work. And we're here to brainstorm it all, from the comfort of our studio to your eager ears. So glue yourself to your seats, listeners. This is an episode that stitches together laughter, insights, and the right amount of spooky. It's all coming up on The Syndicate.
Welcome to The Syndicate, a film and TV podcast. Be a part of the conversation as industry insiders, genre lovers, and cinephiles dare to peek beyond the curtains of imagination and dive into the art of cinema. Join us as we want you to spend less time scrolling and more time watching. Now here's your host, Armand Haddad.
Hey, Allie, you're back. You're back on the show. Thank you so much for coming back.
Thank you for having me today. I'm feeling good. I've had my coffee. I'm a little giggly. I'm excited.
I'm so excited to talk about this film. So we watched Lisa Frankenstein, and I mean, we're taking it all the way back from the first episode you were ever on, because I approached you. I was like, hey, I'm doing a podcast about movies. Would you like to come on? And you said, yes, I would like to recommend Jennifer's Body. And I was like, say less, because I love that movie.
I'm so
and
happy.
Now, yeah. And now you're back with Diablo Cody's latest film, same writer, set in the same universe as Jennifer's Body, Lisa Frankenstein. So I want to get the ball rolling. How did you even hear about this movie? And what did you think about watching it for the first time?
So I'm a Twitter gremlin, and I was scrolling on my feed, and someone wrote, like, oh my God, Lisa Frankenstein set in same world as Jennifer's Body. And I was like, well, now I have to, like, take my money. So I sent that to you. I was like, we have to. Like, it's Diablo Cody. Like, I don't know. We had such a fun time talking about Jennifer's Body. Like, we just had to.
I know. It was, like, obligatory. We had to.
Mm-hmm.
And I absolutely loved Jennifer's Body back in, I believe it came out in 2009 or 2010. I thought it was amazing. And then watching Lisa Frankenstein in theaters, because I had to make sure to watch this in theaters because I didn't want another Jennifer's Body where it's like, oh, this movie sucks. Nobody went to see it. It bombed. And then 20 years later, everyone's like, oh my God, this movie's amazing. How come no one saw it? So I did my due diligence. I was like, I'm seeing it in theaters. I'm giving Diablo Cody my money. And I was sitting in the theater with three other people. And I just had a smile on my face the whole time. I was like, this movie is amazing. And it was made for me.
I definitely felt like, yeah, if you like sci-fi, if you like old movies, if you, I don't know, if you're a romantic at heart, I think you really love it. It just was a really fun, it was just fun from start to finish. A fun ride. There we go.
Right. It truly was, because like I felt the essence of like 80s horror in this movie. This movie felt like it came out of the late 80s. Because, like, it had all the hallmarks of what made those movies so special. Because, like, I'm watching this and I'm like, this is like Heathers. This is like Weird Science. This is like the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah.
Like, it has all those themes interwoven in this original script. And I was like, this is amazing. This is a love letter to 80s horror.
Yes.
Allie, are you into that as well?
I'm not too versed in it. I did grow up. I do remember seeing Creature from the Black Lagoon. I remember stuff like that. And she had a drawing that she drew of the creature, I'm pretty sure, on her wall.
Yes.
There was really a lot of cute details. Like, I'm sure part of it's Diablo Cody, but also the sets, and the clothing, everything design-wise was very 80s. It was very immersive. And I never felt like I was brought out of it.
I know. It was like every single little detail of like the characters, the sets, everything, the car, their parties, their music, the soundtrack of the movie. I was like, this is like, I'm enjoying this ride. Mm-hmm. I'm enjoying this so much. This is like made for weirdos like us.
Yes.
That are into like horror movies, horror pop culture, and then like the 1980s as well. It was just, oh my God, I love this movie so much. I walked out of the theater, I was like, yes, we need more movies like this. This is amazing.
100%. I saw this with my friend Nina, who showed me Jennifer's Body. So shout outs. Thank you for this.
Wow.
So I was like, I have to see it with her because I wanted to get her perspective as well. And we just kept talking about it for like an hour after. It brought a huge smile to her faces. And I could not get that one song out of my head, REO Speedwagon. What was that?
I know which one you're talking about. I don't know the lyrics.
Can't stop this feeling or anything.
I can't stop this feeling anymore.
I was singing that into my mic to get my mic settings right before we started recording.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like I said, every little tiny detail is like, it just makes this movie seem like I like missed it. I wasn't even born yet. It's like in Blockbuster. Like, oh, what's this movie? Lisa Frankenstein. Oh, I have to watch this movie. And now, did you feel, I have to talk about this before we really jump into the movies. Did you feel like the references, like the homages in this movie? Because like you did the musical for Heathers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you feel like that influence in this movie? Because I'm watching, I'm like, I'm getting like Heather's vibes, especially from Lisa.
From Lisa. Oh, kind of like how she starts kind of like nice girl and kind of turns into that de-evolution.
Yeah.
Into like kind of a crazy Victor Lisa thing going on. Yes. Yeah, definitely. There was a lot of funny references within the writing, like my favorite joke. I actually knew it was a joke, but I didn't know exactly what it was. So I had to go home and Google this. And it was the, I don't know if you want me to say this later, but.
Say it.
So she got drugged drinking that drink at the party at the beginning of the movie. And she's walking with Doug, her lab partner. And he's like, oh, who's your favorite movie director? And she's like, Paps. And he's like, you're just reading my scan, because he had a PBR, but there's really a GW Paps, who's a Austrian director. I think he's Austrian. I wrote it down somewhere. He's a director of movies. So like, it was a very subtle joke. And I heard that. I'm like, I know this is a joke. I need to go home and Google this.
I didn't know. That flew over my head. Oh my God. That,
yeah.
Diablo, hats off.
Yeah. I love her.
Reference.
I just marry me.
Paps. You just read my PBR can. Oh my God.
And she's like, no, it's really a drag. That was a good one.
Oh God, the writing. The writing was so good. I love this movie. I swear. If people shit on this movie, I'm like, no, fuck you. This is a great movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely going to be I'm definitely going to pick this one up when it comes out on DVD, Blu-ray. Do we do that anymore? I'm going to do it.
You're going to do it. So you can have it forever, physical media.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Allie, let's break the seal. Let's talk about Lisa Frankenstein properly. But before we do, could you like summarize the plot in broad strokes? It could even be the broadest of strokes.
Sure. So Lisa Frankenstein follows Lisa She's sort of a different kind of girl, and her mom died to maybe an axe murderer. We don't know for sure.
Yeah.
But so her dad remarries this really peppy woman. So you have these two kind of same side of the same coin, I would say. You have Taffy, who's really bubbly, cheerleader, personal, and then you have kind of dark Lisa into poetry, and it's about their Lisa trying to fit into this family, and she makes a wish. She makes a wish that she was with this what is it, a statue, a gravestone. But what
Yes.
she meant was she wishes she was dead. Like she wishes, like she's very dark in her stuff like that. And when she makes this wish, a storm happens and it hits the gravestone, and the creature appears from and comes to her house. And so now she has this creature at her house, and he's missing some body parts, so they go on this venture to put him back together. And like Frankenstein with electricity, they use a tanning booth to start getting him more and more human. And it's
Yeah.
about the consequences of these actions. And yeah, it's a really fun ride.
Oh my God. Yeah. 'Cause like I saw the trailer and I was like, oh my God, this is like a very campy feminine take on the whole like Dr. Frankenstein, the monster type thing. And yeah, she uses that tanning bed because like it's faulty, which Diablo Cody sets up in the beginning of the film because like her preppy stepsister is like, oh yeah, trying to look beautiful, get a tan. So she sits in a tanning bed and like electrocutes her and it's broken. And then as a setup for the payoff of like she uses that as like the Dr. Frankenstein thunderbolt electricity to reanimate.
It's just such a cute idea. Like, kudos. Like, that's such a fun idea. I'm just in love with the script.
She is the master storyteller. And we talked about this during Jennifer's Body, but like I was sitting in the theater and I went into it not knowing anything. That's how I like watching my movies. So I'm
Same.
sitting there and I knew it was set in the 80s.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
But I did not expect it to be set in Illinois.
Yeah, I didn't expect that either. Like we were kind of like when we saw the name of the cemetery, we're like, wait, is that here? But the Rocky Rococo line really sold it for me. I was like, oh yeah, I've been there. My parents have dragged me to Rocky Rococo.
Saw the name. I was like, Bachelor's Grove. Holy shit. I was like, what? And then Bluff Road. I was like, holy shit. This is
Yeah.
Illinois.
That always makes it a little bit more personal. Like, yeah, that's my hood. Like, I don't know. That makes like Wayne's World, stuff like that.
Yeah,
That being said, Aurora, like, I don't know. I think that makes me a little biased then. Like, oh, cool. Yeah, represent.
oh my God, that made me so happy. I was like, oh my God, I'm sitting in this fictional version of Illinois. We need more representation. She's taking the page out of like John Hughes, where he's setting all his films, you know, in Chicago or Illinois with all of his movies. And Diablo Cody, please, please just do that. Because Jennifer's Body, I think it took place in Minnesota, but I would like it to think that it was in Illinois. Because like, she grew up around here. She grew up in the western suburbs of Chicago. And I was like, oh my God, like, I don't know. It's just that Midwestern attitude when it comes to like her storytelling, when it comes to like, you know, even going back to Juno, a little bit of it in Young Adults, this movie, Lisa Frankenstein, like you could see I don't even know what to call it, like the Midwestern angst.
Yeah.
It's like there, you know?
Yeah. The like alternative, I want to get out of this town type of personality.
We have to get out of this town, the town, suburbia. Picturesque. We have to get out of this town. But anyways, like, yeah, I was so surprised seeing Bachelor's Grove. And I was like, I hope this, like, because I don't even know if Bachelor's Grove is even nationwide to, like, everybody. We know it. Mm-hmm. I actually tried going there once.
Yeah, it's closed, right?
I mean, you could go there. It's technically still trespassing if you go there during the daytime. But, like, for sure, during the nighttime, you know, when all the ghosts come out, that is 100%. You're going to get arrested. And so I had a bright idea in high school. I was like, guys, it's Halloween. Let's go to Bachelor's Grove. And so we all packed car, go driving to Bachelor's Grove. I think it was, like, around midnight. And there's a parking lot because like Bachelor's Grove is in a forest preserve.
Okay.
Like you have to walk into the forest to find it. Kind of like the movie. But there's a parking lot across the street where you can park your car and then go into the forest preserve. I turn into the parking lot and I see a whole bunch of squad cars.
Ooh.
And I'm like, oh, I'm turning around. I'm making a U-turn. And we're not.
We weren't doing anything that you thought we were doing.
They were ready.
Yeah.
To find hooligans like me. I was like, let's go see some ghosts on Halloween. They were ready. So didn't actually go.
Like, 4th of July where they're like patrolling other streets. Be like, they'll never catch us then.
Go during Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah, then you'll have like the ghost of Christmas past there though.
Oh my God. Why is my name on the grave? Who is this man's spirit?
Beautiful.
Yes. But back to the movie. Yeah, Lisa Frankenstein. I mean, oh my God. Yeah, Lisa wants to, she's like, you know, being all emo. Oh, I want to, oh, I wish I was like you. Wish
very
I could
poetic.
Be with you. And it was just a giant misunderstanding. And then there's this electrical storm and brought him back to life. No, I meant to be with you, dead.
I love the scene when he somehow finds his way to Lisa. I don't, maybe he's got like a compass in his heart now or something, but he finds his way to Lisa's house and she's just freaking out. And just, it's so cute. I think Cole did a really good job of like acting between each instance of the machine because he was very clunky and very, you know, Frankenstein, I'm hitting things walking. I think he did a really good job with his body language.
And you say body language because, like, he didn't speak one line of dialogue. I mean, unless you count the grunts, he did not have any spoken word. And that's...
Well, he did at the end.
Oh, yeah.
But for the most part, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, like, that's, you know, we talked about Silent Night with Aaron, how it's really hard to do no dialogue. But if you're going to do the whole no dialogue thing, you need to have that contrasted with someone who is speaking. And this movie is a perfect representation of that. Because, like, we have Catherine Newton, Lisa, who is espousing, who is acting, who is delivering all these lines perfectly, and it's bouncing off of Cole's body language. Like, him just physically reacting, like,
I also think on top of the body language, the makeup was really fun to see between instances as well, see him become more and more human. There was just a lot of details, a lot of thought put into this movie.
And I want to get into that because, like, the biggest theme for me watching this movie is, like, the beauty taming the beast. We've seen it in many movies, especially Beauty and the Beast by Disney, the most overt story with that. But, like, Catherine Newton's character, like, we see this transformation with her character. She goes from this girl who isn't very confident in herself, who dresses kind of awkwardly, and then as she progresses through the film, she gains that confidence and she becomes more and more of a goth queen, a goth princess, becoming, you know, more and more, I guess, for lack of a better phrase, more beautiful. And then the same thing is happening with the monster that she created, Cole's character, where he, as we first see him, as he's barging through the door of her home, he's like, he looks like the creature from the Black Lagoon. He looks like a zombie, disgusting. There's like dirt and moss. He's missing limbs. And then as he progresses through the movie and more being electrocuted by the tanning bed to like put body parts on him to replace things, he's becoming more and more handsome.
Yeah.
So it's like there's this nice complimenting going on with their characters. As she's taming the beast, he's becoming more and more human. And then at the same time, she's becoming more and more confident in herself.
And she's kind of becoming more and more of a monster herself. Like, she's okay with all everything happening. It's very, it's very interesting kind of switch.
Yeah. And it's also like Heather's.
Yeah.
Because, like, the character, Winona Ryder's character, like, she was, you know, I don't know how to describe her character, like a nerd or a geek. And then she encounters this man played by Christian Slater, who's a bad boy, kind of similar to this story where, I mean, even though the monster in Lisa Frankenstein was more romantic, he's still killing people. He's killing for this girl, which is also Christian Slater's character in Heather's. He's also killing for Winona Ryder's character. So it's like, as she's with this guy, she's descending more and more into the abyss. She's becoming more and more, quote, evil by being complicit to all of these killings.
Yes, exactly.
I love it. And it's very campy. It's not serious.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Like, the humor was so, honestly, it was so dry. I loved it. Because I could have done wacky. Could have been like, whoa, like more contemporary, but it felt like dry and something out of another time period, aka the 1980s.
Yeah. And then Midwestern humor, too, I think is very dry and subtle as well.
We're just better people, don't you think?
Something like that.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And I also want to bring this up. Because, like, the other theme of this film, have you seen the movie Weird Science?
I have a long time ago.
Okay.
I can't remember much, but I remember the cover in my brain.
Right. And the cover, like, perfectly captures the film. It's about these two nerdy guys who, like, in this movie, create, like, their perfect partner. So in that movie, it's like they create, you know, the perfect girl who's also named Lisa. I don't know if it's a coincidence or not, or an homage. I think Diablo Cody knows what she's doing.
I do, too. I trust her with my life.
Yeah. And then with Lisa Frankenstein, it's the inverse. It's the girl creating the perfect guy.
I definitely think I really enjoyed having Lisa being the protagonist. 'Cause it reminded me a little bit of, it's like a feminine I was thinking about the movie Sex Drive for some reason. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but
no, I've seen it. I've seen the unrated version too, which, let me tell you, you know, like Jennifer's Body, because there was an unrated version of Jennifer's Body which added, I don't know, 30 seconds to the film. It was more gore. Sex Drive, they just had naked dudes walking around for no reason.
Huh. Interesting. Don't think I saw that one, but maybe I'll check it out. But I was thinking of the movie Sex Drive in the way that men, there's more films about like sex being funny with dudes and stuff like that. And it just felt really nice to have like a feminine lead who where we talk about sex in this movie, and it's a different way of joking about sex. It felt like really fresh. And I felt like as a coming of age story, it was nice to have this kind of encapsulated.
By the way, I genuinely miss those type of movies. I call them boner comedies. Like American Pie and all those movies.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're always in the male lens.
Yes.
It's always the male gaze. The story follows these male protagonists. It's never the other way around.
Yes.
It's never through the eyes of the girl. In this movie, even though it has that horror comedy wrapper to this, it's still in the perspective of Lisa.
Yes.
So it is refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
I think there should be more movies like this.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely just, I don't want to get too far about like the sex jokes because I was dying laughing in this movie. But just even like her pulling or him cold pulling out the vibrator and she's just like, it's a massager. Don't worry about that. I don't know.
And then he starts massaging her on her back.
Yeah. Oh, so sweet.
My aunt gave this to me. She said, it'll give me a personality or something.
Something like that.
By the way, I was the only guy in the theater watching this. It was two ladies in their 50s. And then I believe a girl probably in her 20s, 30s. They all laughed.
Nice. Well, my theater was me and my friend Nina. And then this couple, an older couple next to us, probably in their like 60s, 70s. And then three men in front of us. So.
Really?
Yeah, there's some representation. Very small, but I hope more people see it. I thought it was a pretty fun time.
Right, because Diablo Cody wants to make a sequel to this.
So how it ended, my roommate said they feel like they set it up very well for like a Bride of Frankenstein sort of thing going on.
I'd be down with that.
Yeah, I think I would be too. I feel like it ended okay where I feel comfortable with it being done, but I'm down for more. I had a fun time. Let's keep the train going.
Did the ending make you sad?
No, because I feel like it kind of, they were together at the end.
Yeah, that was the emotional payoff of the movie.
Yeah.
Because like throughout this entire movie, I was getting a little bit mad at Lisa.
Yeah.
Because like, the monster clearly liked her.
Yeah.
In love with her. And she was pining after some other guy. I believe his name is Michael, like the editor of the school newspaper.
Yes.
And like, I remember that scene where it was in the middle of the movie where she was like, oh, like, I hope I don't die a virgin. That's why I need a. Go see Michael. And he's like, ugh. And then I groan to him like, oh, no.
Yeah. But like the pining, though, like it's nice to see that because then when she realizes it, it's like, oh, he's loved me this whole time. I think that's just very like, I don't know, when you read those smutty books, it's just kind of the pining is an integral part of of the love story. So it didn't bother me too much. I was just kind of like, Lisa, come on, look in front of you. But at the same time, he is dripping bugs and stuff. So,
hey, she didn't mind by the end of the movie.
No, she did not.
Because they had a sex scene.
It was pretty tasteful.
Caterpillar, this millipede, centipede fell on her face. And I'm like, hey, whatever.
If you love someone, you love someone, I guess.
Let's talk about the most outrageous thing I've ever seen in a movie. And I've seen The Human Centipede, since we're talking about centipedes.
I have also seen that movie. I just gagged a little bit.
That movie. Core memory formed. Oh, shit. I gotta take a shit.
Yes.
So her sister, Taffy, ends up hooking up with
the guy that Lisa likes.
Mm-hmm.
And Lisa
could see that coming.
Yeah.
But Lisa did not.
No, she had a shit fit about it. And then Cole's character, the monster, did exactly what any guy would do if he's pining after Lisa. Takes a hatchet and then cuts off his dick.
Yep. And we watch it fly.
Fly into the air.
Slow-mo.
Could see the shadow on the wall. It was in slow-mo. And at that moment, I was like, is what I'm watching right now, is this real?
For some people, probably the most horrifying part of a horror film.
I was
dying.
I was laughing. I don't know if the ladies were laughing too. Like, what the fuck?
It was so crazy, but like, it had such a good payoff because later you find out the creature didn't have a dick, so she needed to sew it back on. And like, her sewing all these body parts back on makes sense because she's a seamstress as her job, so it's just like, I don't know. There's all these little details that really paid off. But yeah, he needed that. So they couldn't have sex until he had a dick. So.
And then she sewed it on him.
Yep.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else. Even those who aren't actively searching for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
And, like, the way the camera was positioned, the framing of that scene, he's, like, standing up. He's, like... And she's like on her knees in front of him. And I'm like, I'm here for this. Yep. This is the most absurd movie I've ever seen. And I'm loving every single second of this.
I mean, now he's a man. He's got every part. He's got his ear, he's got his hand, and he's got his dick.
I just love the escalation of this, because like, he needed a new hand, and then he needed an ear, and then he needed a dick, and now he's a grown boy now.
They grow up fast.
Yeah, like, I didn't see the ending coming, where, well, I mean, she kind of had no choice. The snowballing effect, because like, her stepmom, she accidentally kills her, right?
So the mom comes to confront Lisa because things have been breaking at the house. And she's like, I'm going to send you to, I think, some rehab place. And then Cole, the creature's name isn't Cole. The creature comes out with her sewing machine and hits her on mom on the head, which I think is kind of like poetic in a way, just like, you know, because that's what Lisa does, sews, and then. I don't know. So in a way, Lisa helped kill the mom. And then she falls, and right away, creature's just like, ear, I'm cutting it off. And Lisa just stands there like, what's happening? Like, she's happy about it, but she was kind of like, she didn't stop it. She didn't call 911.
Oh, no. Anyways.
Yeah, exactly.
No, not right now. We need to hide the body. And then I was like, this... it's Heathers. It's literally what happens in Heathers in the first act. Same thing. I was like, I love this movie. And like the line delivery too was like, almost felt like a soap opera. I loved it. I loved it so much. But yeah, like her mom dies. The character of her mom was like, oh, she was going to go away to like a nursing convention or something. So she was going to be away.
Yeah.
It was actually in Milwaukee. And I mean, eventually you're going to find out that she's not there, which happens. And then there's investigation. And then Lisa's, you know, killing more people. She killed that nerdy guy in the beginning with the PBR because, mm-hmm. like, even though he's like a nerd and seems harmless, he wasn't.
No, he tried to. He was groping her up when she was drugged at the party. It was not cool. We don't do that.
No, I didn't see that coming. I was like, mm-hmm. oh. Then I was getting a little sus. I was like, huh. And then right when she was put on the bed, I'm like, oh no. Oh no.
I do. I want to credit Nina for this, that she messaged me about. She said it was very interesting how all the pieces that they collected were like kind of bad pieces of these people that did harm to Lisa. They took the arm of Doug, which groped her without her consent. They took the ear of the mom who wasn't listening to Lisa. And then they took the penis because she was screwing, the dude was screwing Taffy, and wanted to be with him. And Nina messaged me that, and I'm like, you are so smart. Oh my God.
You're so smart. Oh my God. That is mind blowing. That is so subtle. I didn't even pick up on that.
Yeah. Diablo Cody, man.
That's why she has an Oscar.
Yep.
You know, people are like shitting on her. I heard this comment that she was like a one-hit wonder director. Oh, that is the perfect reaction.
What? Juno? Jennifer's Body? I know there's more, I'm sure.
She's a talent. She knows what she's doing. Oh, yeah. I think people are just jealous.
Yeah, people are jealous. They gotta be. What do they know? What Oscar do they have?
Exactly. What movies did they make? Let me guess. None?
Yep.
It's so much easier just to criticize a movie than to actually make one.
Mm-hmm.
To put yourself out there, to put your heart and soul into a script, and to make a movie like this that's so nuanced. Because I walked out of it, and I was like, this is a love letter to the horror genre, horror comedy genre. 100%. And then now you're like hitting me with like, it's actually philosophical, and it's very deeply allegorical. And I'm like, oof. This movie just, I already thought it was an awesome movie. And now it's like even more awesome.
I really think outside of like the love letter to the 80s and the gothic horror, it's also a love letter to like the start of movies and old movies with like that PBR joke I was telling you earlier, the like talking about the old director Pabst, and then even with the, what is it, the Fly to the Moon, what is that called again?
Oh yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's old 1920s silent film, I think. Yeah, the rocket goes in the moon, the moon with the face, and it goes in mm-hmm. his eye.
And I feel like they even kind of showed it too with the choice of, so at the end they do it, and then it was very tasteful. Yeah. And then they basically have to say their goodbyes because Lisa decides to die to get out of having to go to jail. So they turn the my brain's not working today. They turn the tanning bed up to like extra whatever, very high, and so she gets in there, and then it electrocutes, and she we believe passes on because later we see her grave. But they do a cut where they do the like little shrink to the little circle.
Yeah.
And that's very like old school film too. So there's a lot of nods to old film as well. It's just very like considerate, very thoughtful.
That's how you can tell that Diablo Cody, and we didn't even mention Zelda Williams, Robin Williams' daughter.
That like when I read that, I was like, what? Nepo baby, but like good Nepo baby. It's her first directing debut, I believe.
She did a great job. Like,
amazing job. Oh my god.
Like, I hope Because, like, before walking into this, I was like, oh, I wish Karen Kusama did this movie, because then we would have had, like, a reunion of sorts with Diablo Cody from Jennifer's Body. But I'm glad that she didn't, because I feel like this movie would be entirely different, because the way Jennifer's Body was shot is completely different than the way this movie was shot. I feel like with Zelda Williams' eye and how she directed this and, like, bringing it to life is what made this movie work so well.
Mm-hmm, I agree. I feel like if a Jennifer's Body, if it was the same director, I feel like it'd be a lot darker.
Yeah.
And I like the light, like, even though there's death and stuff like that, it's just so lighthearted. It was a lighthearted comedy, even though, you know, bad things are happening. And it was a good, I feel, you know, the more we're talking about it, the more I'm starting to love the movie even more. I can't tell what I like more, if I like Jennifer's Body or this more. I was leaning towards Jennifer's Body, but after our conversation right now, I don't know. I think maybe it's this. Maybe I like this more.
Yeah, you know, I'm a sucker for a horror comedy like Gremlins. I love Gremlins. I love The Evil Dead. I love Cabin in the Woods. There's just something, because, like, I'm such a horror fan, because, like, when I was younger, the good age of watching movies or listening to music that stick with you for your whole life, I was watching a lot of horror movies from the 1980s or 70s. And then infusing comedy into that, it kind of, like, deconstructs it. It kind of makes it more palatable for people that aren't really into, like, being scared or being, you know, thrilled in that way. It makes it more interesting and more dynamic because you're playing with the medium. And with this movie, it's very different than Jennifer's Body. Because even though Jennifer's Body has those quips here and there, those moments of levity, of comedy, it's a horror film. It's a horror film. It's about a succubus. It's eating men. And then Needy has to fight off the demon that's, consume Jennifer, her old friend. It's very horrific. And then it ends on a horrific note with Lisa Frankenstein, start to finish. It's very comedic.
Yeah, it's a love story. Yeah. It's a little wonky, but it's a love story.
it's more fun.
Yeah.
It's a more fun movie.
Outrageous.
It's an outrageous movie. And yeah, I didn't see that ending coming, but, you know, it was the natural progression. She dies, and now she's with the creature in death forever. They're together forever. It's like Romeo and Juliet.
But they can be together.
Right. It's it's like the undead version of Romeo and Juliet.
I did have, like, some questions, though, because, like, at the end, the creature is a lot more human. Like, he can talk now, and he's reading to Lisa, and Lisa's all covered up and bandaged, probably burnt up, and has no eyes. It's like the last reveal you see. But because the creature wasn't like that at the fire scene, I'm like, did he go find another tanning bed? Like, how'd he get a little more human?
Well, he had to have brought her back somehow.
Yeah.
He had to have brought her back somehow. So maybe he did find another tanning bed.
But maybe they would answer those questions if they had a sequel. So
right.
I'm not like, I need to know this now. I'm like, it's, you know, I can fill in the blanks, whatever I want, whatever.
They're together anyways.
Yeah.
The details aren't
important. It's true love, whatever.
But I really like that imagery where it's like, she was alive, human, and then he was like a zombie, like coming out of the ground, like soup, not human. And then inverted, where he's practically human again, and then she's the monster.
Yes.
There's just something poetic about that.
I think it's poetic, too, because the start of the film, they do this really cute, like, animation to show the creature's backstory. Where he was this musician, and then he fell in love, and then the girl left him, and he died kind of young and sad. Mm-hmm. And he sat and read by himself in the beginning on the bench, and now he's there with his lover on the bench. I don't know. I think that's really cute, like, bookends, too.
Oh, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Diablo Cody. She knows what she's doing.
I need to write a little letter. Dear Diablo, thank you for all your great movies. Love, Allie. And I'll sit, pretend I'm like three and draw a little picture.
She'll do an interview with, like, what inspires me is that this young girl sent me a letter about how my movies are impacting her. It just means so much that I'm inspiring the next generation. Meanwhile, Allie's like,
age three, really lightly, zero. A picture of her being held against.
You write it in crayon. On lined paper. Ripped out of a notebook.
I feel like I have to do this now for the joke.
Oh, you have. Okay. You have to. This is one long joke for us.
All right. I know what I'm doing today.
Oh, my God. I think it's safe to say that we really enjoyed this movie.
Oh, yes. Definitely. Right.
So I want to get off the fence on a few questions.
Okay.
We were talking about how Diablo Cody wants to make a sequel for this film, and we were also saying that it takes place in the same universe as Jennifer's Body. Do you think the sequel would be a straight sequel, like a continuation of Lisa's story, or will it be another nod to, like, another classic monster? Because, like, with Jennifer's Body, it was a succubus. This movie, Frankenstein. Is she going to do, like, Wolfman or something? A werewolf?
That would be cool.
The Invisible Man.
Ooh, spooky. I feel like there's, like, a few ways it could maybe go. Like, my friend referenced maybe doing a Bride of Frankenstein. Now that would be a direct continuation. You can maybe even do, what if they had, like, some undead kid? Like, what would that be like?
The Addams Family.
Yeah, if you said it further. I feel like if there's going to be a sequel, it would have to kind of have them in some way. But I can definitely see her doing other monsters. I hope she would do other monsters. I have really enjoyed her career and seeing where it's going. And I'm going to leave it to the experts.
Right. We're not going to say how to make a movie, but
I think I would like a bride thing to see. I don't know. It's like, I don't think I want direct continuation, but it'd be cool to kind of see Lisa back together and see what happens from there. Because is there only one Bride of Frankenstein? It's Dracula who has, like, three brides, right?
Yeah, Dracula has a lot of ladies. There's only one Bride of Frankenstein, the one with, you know, tall hair with the white streak. There's only one. I personally really love the Bride of Frankenstein. I think that's, like, probably my favorite Universal monster other than, I guess, Dracula. I just love the aesthetic of the Bride of Frankenstein. I think it's such a striking image. So I would personally love that, but I don't know. At the same time, it's like, do I want a Lisa Frankenstein 2? The return of Lisa?
Yeah.
I think I would want her to be maybe, like, a reference.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, like, having something in the same universe, but a little bit detached, like how this is from Jennifer's Body, mm-hmm. would be nice. I think that's kind of, that's the golden ratio. I don't know.
It's still weird and, like, supernatural and, like, an homage to, like, some sort of classic creature. But it's through the lens of the feminine eye.
Yeah. I feel like she could even go as far as, if she keeps doing stuff like that, she could even get into, like, a Buffy kind of territory. Like, well, if there's all these creatures everywhere, who's going to take care of them, you know?
Like a female Van Helsing?
Ooh, that would be cool.
Oh, my God. That would be amazing. That would be so good.
Maybe I'll start writing that one.
And then, like, she could go full schlock and, like, have like a Nick Fury type character and be like, I'm assembling a team. It has like needy Lisa Frankenstein.
Oh gosh.
Like an Avengers of like, the it'd be Diablo like the Dark Universe, Avengers.
The Cody Universe. Yeah.
But I have some bad news.
Oh?
I have some bad news.
Oh no.
So, the month of February 2024, when Lisa Frankenstein came out, was the worst month for movies in cinema history.
That hurt. That cut deep.
I find it hard to believe because we had such bangers like Madam Web.
Yeah.
And The Beekeeper.
Yes, I've heard so much
Argyle.
About these. Okay, I do want to see Argyle. I'm not going to lie. I'm a big fan of Kingsman, so.
That's a Pirate Bay movie, you know, our favorite streaming platform with, like, ads for casinos embedded in the movie.
I'm going to get addicted to gambling eventually the more I watch these.
I keep on trying to watch these movies, and I get ads for casinos. Weird casino websites.
They put ads in everything nowadays, even in our movies.
Yeah, even inside the movie.
Slots.com.
Yeah, slots.com. This movie underperformed.
So it's going to be Jennifer's body all over again.
Yeah, it's going to be Jennifer's body all over again. But honestly, I think, who cares about box office numbers? You know what I'm saying?
Not me.
They can easily put this on any streaming platform and it'll just rake in money. Because, like, I don't think people are going to the movies anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. Especially since COVID.
Yeah, it's definitely a different experience. It was kind of sad seeing not a lot of people in the theater for opening weekend. And usually that's just what you do. But people are just, we're very conscientious of, you know, our space and making sure we're healthy. And February, people are sick all the time. Like, you got to think about that too when you're releasing things now, because right. This is the time for flu and whatever with the weather changing so much. So a lot of factors.
And for our part of the world where this movie kind of takes place in, this is like the coldest month of the year.
Yeah, people want to stay home.
It's like, I don't want to go outside. I would love to pay a premium. It could be like $20. I don't care. If I could just beam in movies straight to my home theater.
Yeah, that would be nice. Like, yeah. And they were doing that kind of for a bit with COVID, right? They were releasing, straight to some streaming platforms. Mm-hmm. But I don't want, like, the theater. I don't want the experience of going to a movie theater to die out.
Here's what you do. You reduce the price of the tickets for the theater experience. It was like $5 to see the movie. But if you want to watch at home, it's $30. So if you want the luxury of sitting in your own home, you could do that. You just have to pay the premium. Or you could go to the movie theater for a cheaper price to see the same movie.
Mm.
That's how I would do it. Would my business go out of business? Absolutely.
$30. Yeah, that's a, ooh, ouchies. That's when you get every, that's like what, how they do the, is it MMA, WWE, that stuff?
Yeah, it's like $60 for a pay-per-view ticket.
That's when you get all your buddies. And you go, hey.
And they split it. It's like, $3 each. That's worth it. Or what people also do, like people go to the bar to watch these games, to watch these matches, because they play it for free. Yeah, I'm buying a beer. But I'm also getting that communal experience of like watching it with like 100 people. And that's what movie theaters should do.
I want to watch Lisa Frankenstein at a bar. That'd be so fun.
Oh, man. He cut off his dick.
That's exactly what I was thinking in my head.
It's like that meme of, like, the bar going crazy and, like, throwing a bunch of stuff. Right when he, like, cuts the dick off. I was like, oh!
Yeah.
That would be amazing. Like, people have done that with Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I cosplayed season. And went to some. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I cosplayed Arya when she was with the God, the guy who has no face name or whatever. And so I had her blue outfit on and I had contacts that made it look like I was blind, and I kept scaring the bartender every time I went home.
Did you go to Replay in Linkin Park? Because they did a whole pop-up Game of Thrones bar.
Oh, no, I didn't. That's cool.
Yeah, it's a really cool place. I might have, this is pre-pandemic, I might have taken you and the gang there.
Maybe. I'm not sure.
It was a pinball arcade place. All the games are free. And they do pop-ups. I don't know if they still do, but they did a Game of Thrones pre-pandemic. And they had, like, the wall of, like, the faces.
Oh, my God. No, then I didn't go. That's so cool.
They had, like, the God Tree where Ned Stark would sit under in one of the rooms. They had, like, they had an iron throne that you could sit on and take pictures.
It was sick. I missed out.
Yeah, it was sick. But it's also sick that you dressed up as Arya Stark.
That's probably one of my favorite cosplays I've done. I did a lot. I sewed it all in 3 days, and I weathered it. It looked pretty cool. I'm not gonna lie. I don't toot my own horn often, but I will on this one. I'm pretty proud of it.
You gotta bring it back.
Maybe.
C2E2's coming up. Gotta bring it back. Did you have Needle, the sword?
I did not. I made my costume in 3 days. I did pretty good for 3 days. I can't make a sword.
Could have went to Party City and got a sword.
To be fair, when Arya was there, Needle was hidden in the ground somewhere.
Oh, so. That's right.
So.
That's right. Because she didn't want to give it up because her father made it, or I don't remember.
Something like that. But a girl with no face or name can't have anything or something, right?
A girl has no name.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. That's so cool. But back to Lisa Frankenstein.
Yes, back to Lisa Frankenstein.
Okay, so my final question. Would you recommend this movie to a friend?
I would. I think my friends would definitely enjoy this. I actually really want to go back to the theater and take my boyfriend to see it, because he's a romantic at heart. So I think he would enjoy it as well. It was definitely a fun time. Definitely a good movie to watch with friends as well. There's just a lot to talk about after. I think, especially being, you know, Midwest here, I think it just kind of itches those kind of jokes for us.
Oh, yeah. Like, this movie, I wish I saw it with friends instead of an empty theater. Because, like, yeah, this is totally one of those movies that you would watch with your friends because it's weird.
Mm-hmm.
You just put it on, like, all right, we're going to watch this movie. And I was like, what?
Is this real? Just be talking, eating chips, and then you see the dick flag. You go, what?
What?
Rewind that.
Pause. Yeah. Yeah, because, like, this movie, even though I feel like it's made for us alternative people, anybody could watch this.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you have a heart.
If you need a heart.
This is the movie for you. It's a special brand of weird.
Yes.
And I love it.
Yes, this is an ode to the weirdos, for sure.
Yeah. Everyone likes to be weird. And let me tell you, everyone in theater, wasn't many. No one was weird looking. Everyone was normal. Everyone has a little weirdo inside of them.
That's very beautiful.
Yes. You know what's funny? So that older two friends, older ladies, which I assume were probably in their 20s in the 1980s or maybe early 30s or whatever. They're walking out and they're like, well, imagine like two, like, I don't know, two ladies in their 60s,
mm-hmm.
grandmas. And they're like, oh, that was an interesting movie. I really liked the music. And I'm like, gonna be me one day, because like, yeah, they lived it.
Yeah,
they're like, oh, I remember all that stuff.
Oh my God, before
yeah,
speaking of things we lived, one of my favorite scenes, there are two things that were really stuck out to me, movie. I love the montage of putting the clothes on him and finding his outfit. I thought that was so fun. I'm kind of sad he didn't pick the pink the shawl thing, dress, yeah. And then one moment that stuck out, when they finally are like decide to like be a couple and they're like in the graveyard, a cop stops them and Cole, he must be so strong, just picks her up and drops her into the grave. Do you remember that?
I do. I mean, he's Frankenstein. Frankenstein's a strong guy.
I understand Frankenstein is strong, but I didn't think Cole was strong.
That zombie strength.
Anyway, but yes, I think that will also be me one day when there's all these
having zombie strength.
I said like I guess 95 to 2000s movies. I guess coming out, they're remaking Mean Girls, right?
Yeah, Tina Fey wanted more money.
Oh.
Because it was a
musical.
An adaptation of the Broadway, which is a remake of the movie. Yeah.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
People are looking back at Mean Girls 2004, like we were looking back at like Heathers or 16 Candles.
Wow.
Yeah.
The years start coming and they don't stop coming.
That's right. And now Shrek is like, it's in the Library of Congress now, by the way.
What?
For historical significance. Yep.
I mean, it should be.
Like, somebody wants it. So,
like, how Shrek has a chokehold on American culture.
I know. And I saw that in theaters.
I think
I know.
Yeah. That would like change 10. The world.
God. But Allie, thank you so much for doing this again.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy we picked Lisa Frankenstein.
Because like we were going to do other movies, which we will get to eventually. But I was like, listen, we did Jennifer's Body. We got to do this. Because I saw the trailer and I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, I think it's like in the contract. Like any Diablo Cody movie.
Oh my God. Yeah, I really hope she does a follow-up to this movie. I don't care what it is. She needs to establish this like Diablo-verse that she's making with all these weirdo supernatural stuff. Cause like, I love it. I will
fund it.
I don't care. Just do like a Kickstarter campaign and like, listen, if you want another movie.
Oh, and then, or just Patreon it. Like, let me see the behind the scenes. Like I will check it out.
Yeah.
I am poor, but I will throw you $2 every month, Diablo Cody.
It's like, listen, you have an audience. Or like get like a deal with like, not Netflix, because like they're trash. Some sort of streaming platform. It can even be like one of those weird horror movie platforms like Screambox or Fright Tube or, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
These, you know what I'm talking about. Chiller, if that's even still a thing. Like, the audience is out there. We're hungry.
Yes. Oh, yes. I'm so hungry. I'll eat up everything Diablo Cody serves me. Yum, yum, yum.
Oh, my God. Well, we'll be eagerly waiting for her follow-up. Let's just say that. Honestly, listen. I have to say this before we stop. I was watching this. I'm like, this can easily be a Broadway musical.
Oh yeah?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I was watching, I'm like, I could totally see this as like a Broadway musical.
I can't stop this feeling anymore. Okay.
It could totally be transposed to music. Easily. Mm-hmm. They made a Beetlejuice musical.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
And it was fire. It worked. It was amazing. They made a Heathers musical, and you were in it.
Yes.
You were a Heather.
No, it was Martha. I was the one. I was the friend that they made fun of. it was sad. But in the movie, she's like barely in it. Martha Dunstock.
I remember Martha.
Yeah, she's just like at the beginning of the end.
Yep.
And then they're like, let's go hang out.
But you understand, like you could somewhat visualize it.
Yeah.
Diablo Cody, please. Please make Jennifer's Body a musical. Please make Lisa Frankenstein a musical. I will see it.
My head's just like seeing the imagery of like having that tanning bed in the musical. That'd be so cool. And then you could like spin it.
Ooh. Yeah.
And then he comes out and he's more human.
And all the fog comes out of it.
I wish I had money to make a musical. We have such great ideas.
I know. We just need money.
Yes.
That's the hard part. We need money to fund all these ideas.
We have a Kickstarter for Lisa Frank the musical. Not Lisa Frank. Frankenstein.
Lisa Frank the musical. You know all those weird coloring books?
Oopsies.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, we just have a Kickstarter, and then we, like, steal all the money.
We just put on a really, like, bad YouTube video for our musical.
Honestly, we don't even need permission. There's so many unauthorized musicals. Look at Potter?
Potter musical. I have, like, all that memorized. I watched that so much.
They didn't get permission.
It's straight up fire. It's so good. And there's like a Jerry Springer musical, I think.
No, there isn't.
Mm-hmm. I've never heard it, but I'm pretty sure it is. There is one.
Is there a Maury Povich musical?
I don't know, but there
should
be.
You are not the father.
Oh, no. How could this be?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, we'll write it. We'll write that one, too. We've got a lot on our plate.
Jennifer's Body, Lisa Frankenstein, Maury.
I genuinely do think we could write the Lisa Frankenstein musical.
Oh,
my God. I've got a piano. We got this.
I know musicians. Like, listen, this is a passion project. You're not going to get paid.
It's exposure.
It'll be put on YouTube. You're going to be paid in exposure.
And maybe residuals on YouTube.
Here's your 1 cent.
Something.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we'll have to work on that. We'll talk about it in the Discord channel.
Awesome. Can't wait.
All right, well, we need to go start planning these musicals. I almost called you Lisa. Allie, thank you so much for coming back on. It's been a blast as usual.
Oh, so fun, yes. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
I have this. I was going to show you. This is the proof of my poetry book I wrote. It's a small 40-page thing, so I might put this up for sale eventually.
You're a published author?
Well, self-published, you know.
Oh, my God. I could promote your book. That's so awesome, Allie.
I'll let you know when I'm just going through it and going to do like one more sweep, and then I'll probably put it up for sale in a month. So, yeah. This is kind of what I've been working on for like 3 years.
Oh, my God. That's incredible. Okay, well, next time you're on, and if it's done, I'll drop that link.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Sick. Thanks for supporting me.
You're welcome. Allie, it's been a blast. We'll do this again soon.
Yes. Yes.
Right. Ready to close this out?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Until next time, stop that scroll and spend more time watching. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
That's it for this time on The Syndicate. We hope you enjoyed yourself. Keep the conversation going by adding us on Instagram and Letterboxd at Syndicate. Or join the Discord server where you can catch Armand along other podcasters and listeners at syndicate.com/discord. And until next time, stop that scroll and spend more time watching. Goodbye.